Are you glad you're here?
Amen.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here too. And I'm glad I'm here looking at you. I really am. You know, the Lord has a plan for your life, every one of you in this room. He really does. And he had a plan for my life. And I gave my life, I give to people. And I was living here in Colorado Springs, and I was on the Glen almost daily when I wasn't overseas or driving in the States. And in December 75, the Lord changed the direction of my life. Since then, with the exception of going to the Billy Graham Crusade and being in Oklahoma City and Stillwater, Texas, and Dallas and Paris, Texas, I have taken care of one person, just one, all this time. Our oldest daughter, who is just 41 in March, has grown steadily worse. Come July, this month, she will have never known 10 minutes without intense suffering. Her spine is gone, 11 discs are gone, and now all the bones in her body are deteriorating. And if you think that I'm in a different classroom, you're right. I've learned lessons that I thought I already knew. But I've also learned how Christians don't do things. I've learned that some Christians don't know what to say at a sick bed or on a telephone. I've learned that they know the answer for your life. And to tell my daughter she's lazy, likes to be waited on, does something to a mother's heart. I'm a mother. And I'm thrilled to be the mother of the Navigators. I was there before it was conceived, and I was there when it was conceived, and I was there when birth was given to it. I went through all the pangs of that. And then as we pioneered, you know, it's costly to pioneer. And Lauren keeps asking me, if you had to do it over, would you do it just the same way? I said, with the same man. 50 years ago, he led me to Christ. And 45 years ago yesterday, I said yes to him in marriage. And for the 5 years we went together, I was 13 when he led me to Christ. And for the 5 years we went together, you talk about a tough school. And if you think you've had it tough or are having it tough, you just forget it. A little girl, a little tiny thing, walked up to me just recently and said, Mrs. Trotman, did anyone ever check on you? I said, check on me? I was just one big check. And I didn't always appreciate it. Do you like correction? Do you like to be exhorted? Fortunately, he was always right. And fortunately, the Spirit of God stayed with me until I learned the lesson and could go to him and say, Dawson, I'm sorry. But listen, this is ironical. Every time that man ever pointed anything out to me, I knew he was right, but do you think I would admit it? So this week, from my heart to yours. Take one word, make one word at a time, but let it be honest. Just accepting the Lord as your personal Savior isn't enough. When Dawson asked me to marry him, what if I'd have said, yes, I'd like to marry you, but I have to have one day a month free. And he said, what? I said, well, it's just 12 days a year. It's all or none. And that's what God requires. And until we give back to God everything that he's given to us, which is every fiber of this being right here, your life, we have no idea what happiness is. And he delights to delight us, but we have to let him. So I'd like to challenge you with Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart, he purposed, that he would not defile himself. And I often say, Lila, have you purposed in your heart? And I can't say it without thinking of Romans 4:29. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. Am I fully persuaded? That being fully persuaded that what he had promised, well, he's able also to perform. And I know what I'm talking about because I've gone it alone 21 years, but never alone. Praise God. He's everything he ever promised he would be to me, plus. And as I told the men, the state men, and they were in a position to receive this because of what God had done in their hearts that day. And it was this, that we, you and I, have lost our sense of urgency as Christ once. We become complacent. Oh, it isn't my department. Let somebody else do it. I don't see her enough to follow her up, so why spend time with her? And I don't see him. He's in another locale, so, you know. When the Holy Spirit and the living God has said, Mary, Marilyn, I want you to speak to this girl, and you men, just use your own name. And when you read the word, make it personal. I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy 8:1. That's the Old Testament. Mercy. I have a second son. My second son is 38 and a half years old, and he has about 10 mercies. Mercy, you know, or mercy. Or mercy. He called me 2 years ago and he says, Mother, how old are you? It was 3 years ago. And I said, I'm 60. He said, mercy. I said, well, I felt young till you called. He just talked to me yesterday and warned me again to be very careful at the wheel, that I'm not as young as I used to be. My reflexes aren't like they used to be. My eyesight isn't like it used to be. He drives 100,000 miles a year, a 65-foot job, truck. He's a trucker. And he shares anything and everything he sees on the highway that would help me. And I love it. Deuteronomy 8. Put your name there. Lila. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall she observe to do. Is that what it said? It says you, me, ye shall observe to do. that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led these 40 years. Well, some of you aren't quite that old. In the wilderness. Why did he do this? Well, he did this to humble you, to prove you. Think about it. To know what was in your heart and whether you would keep his commandments or not. He put you in the wilderness to see if what you've been talking to him about, if you really meant it. And God takes us at our word. Be careful how you pray. Be careful how you pray. Be careful what you ask God for, because, you know, he has a habit of answering. Well, he humbled me. And he suffered me to hunger, and then he fed me with manna, which I knew not, neither did my fathers know. Why? That he may make me to know that man, that woman, does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And the verse I gave you in Daniel is Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart, "Already, since Dawson's home going, I have had a desert experience, and it was tough. I didn't like it at all. I really didn't. But I love the results. And it wasn't a fly-by-night, and it wasn't a two-week course either. It was long." And oftentimes God cannot get to us any other way but by his permissive will. And it just kills me to think that the living God, who knows all about me, can't speak to me and I would hasten to do it, and he gives me a desert experience. As though that wasn't enough, he gave me a back of the desert experience. No grass, no trees, no friends. No shade. I mean, no friends as far as I thought. But it had to be because I came to a crossroad in my life. And it was one way or the other. And I shudder to think if had I chosen the other. Because God, at Dawson's home going, promised to be my husbandman, my shield, my provider, my protector, my all in all, my strength to strength. And my father. And he is a father to the widowless. But you know, he's been all of that and much more. He keeps his word. And if you forget everything else that I have said, don't forget this. That the promises of God are as true today as they were the very hour the ink was drying. Only more so. Because I say they've been tested, tried, and proven. And you know, we treat the promises of God very lightly, and I'd like to challenge you to do something. Get an old Bible and get a blotter. Take a, what do they shave with? A blade? What do you call it? Yeah, thank you. A razor blade. Now listen, do this. You get anybody and everybody you can and have them share a promise with you, you know. Give you promises. You take the promises you know. Then you take this razor blade and put that blotter and you just cut out every promise in the Word of God. Every promise that he's made, you cut it out. And when you get through cutting out the promises of God, do you know what you're going to have left? No God, no Son of God, no Holy Spirit, no heaven, no hell, no protector. When you're tempted, he won't help you. You know? And that's the way we treat the promises of God. Or a promise. And you and I have the right to open the Word of God and say, now, Lord, this is what you said. I'm just going to hold you to it. This is for me. Now listen, the living God can say no to you and to me, but not to a promise he's made. But the promise that he's made to us might be no. You have a glorious week ahead of you. And I think some of your sessions are going to be tough. I hope they are. I really do. You've been prayed for much. You're not here by accident. You've been bathed in prayer. And I know what I'm talking about. God had, you're special. He brought you here for a purpose. And don't miss it. I don't care how hard it is. Don't miss it. And don't sit in, I'll finish with this. Dawson says, Lila, I want you to start thinking. Well, we had 5 children, and 30 living with us. And, you have to do a little thinking with 30 people. And our 5th child was an invalid. Never knew who we were as his parents. And so Dawson says, so I want you to start thinking. I don't care what you think about. I don't care. I just want to see you with your notebook, and I want to see you writing in that notebook. So I came over here to the Glen, to the castle, and I was sitting in this room, and Dawson was going to speak on memory. Well, I could give his message forward, backward, upward, down, sideways, anyway. His memory, his message on memory. Well, I really needed it worse than anyone else. But, I'd heard it so many times, I knew it, So I sat right back here. Doss was up here, and I'd look up and smile every once in a while. I was writing my notebook. And afterwards, he hugged me right over there at that door and said, hey, you not only were thinking, you were writing. So you got the message. And I look blank. And he says, well, you did, didn't you? You did write it down, didn't you? I said, no. He says, what were you writing? I said, recipe. Menus. So he started in. I said, just a minute. You said you didn't care what I wrote? And you didn't care what I thought about? You just want me to start thinking. He said, put her to. You're right. But I noticed that about 3 days later, he reviewed me on the message on memory. Praise God for him. He led me to Christ. He gave me the teaching 5 years before we were married. Through this word, through the Holy Spirit and Dawson Trotman, I owe plenty. I was his toughest Timothy. I really was. I'm not being modest at all. I just was. But you see, God had a plan for my life. And I was quiet, unassuming, not in my home, but I was out everywhere else, in anywhere else. Quiet. Never said anything. My place was in the home, and I had plenty to do, and I was busy. So I knew I would never, ever have to stand before an audience. I knew this. It wasn't my gift, my, you know, it wasn't. Yeah. See, God had a plan for my life. And the way Doss and I had it planned, it didn't work that way at all. Because we were waiting for the children to be raised, and then I would be traveling with Doss and Trump. Haven't made the shade. But I'm going to tell you, God has never failed me once. Never. Never in 20, he never has, but in 21 years, he never has. And it hasn't been easy. It's been tough at times. And girls, if you haven't given your husband back to God or to God at all, you do it. You do it before you go to bed tonight. If you have to do it 10 times tomorrow, you give him back to God. Men, if you haven't given your wives to God, you give your wife. You know, you're just loaned. You know, we wives, you know. Well, Charles, what did you do? And who did you see? Well, good night. He came home. Can't come home and tell us everything. I'll stand with him in prayer and hold his hands up. That's our, we're helpmeet. Not M-E-A-T either. M-E-E-T. But you know, it sounds like meat with some family. And then our children are just loaned to us. And so any tears I say you shed are just interest on the loan. And I have lots of interest because I've shed lots of tears over my children. I still do. But just give your husband back to God. And then make it your life work to freeze hands. Freeze heart, freeze mind. You say, well, what about me? You know, I have all the work to do. You can't lose. You can't lose. God sees the heart and he'll reward you. And he'll care for you. And you will have a love from your husband like you've never known before. I know. I had to pay the price. And it was glorious. I love you.